Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2 with me. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, please give us understanding on this subject, Lord. We want your truth and your wisdom. Lord, not the world's confusion and foolishness. Lord, strengthen us according to your word, and please help us as your people. And Lord, we just ask this for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were to take a Bible course from the devil, sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? If you took the devil's Bible course, you would be taught two verses. You ready? Judge not, and Jesus turned water into wine. That's what the world uses. That's what you hear constantly. People who claim to know the Bible, but they don't, their favorite Bible verse is judge not, and Jesus turned water into wine. And that's what you find carnal Christians and lost people using. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Understanding this and knowing that this is one of the most misquoted verses. And in our day and age, I'm going to show you this verse is being used to hurt Christianity, not help it. Okay, and so I have a method in here. Look at it says, judge not, be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. In other words, however you judge others, is you can expect the same. I'll show you that at the end of the sermon. It says here, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. First of all, you know how context is supposed to be one of the most important things to us when we read the Bible? There's three very important measures to take when you're looking at the Bible. The first one is context, right? Who's being talked to? Who's speaking? You know, you wouldn't want to take a verse that Satan is tempting Jesus with and make it your life's verse, right? So you ask yourself, who's being talked to? What's the setting? Another important aspect of interpretation is context. So the first one's context. The second one's context. Who's being talked to? Who's doing the talking? What's the setting? And the third one is very important. It's a lot like the first two. It's context. Okay? And it's amazing to me how people will take one verse out and not think, who is being talked to here? Let me show you who's being talked to. Look at verse number 5. Thou hypocrite. Jesus is telling and warning people, this is to the hypocrite. Now, if you're going to figure out what a hypocrite is, well, a hypocrite is somebody that's trying to be something they're not. Okay, well, there's good hypocrites and bad hypocrites. I hope I'm a good hypocrite. I'm trying to be like Jesus, but I'm not. I'm trying to be somebody that I'm not. A good Christian tries, right? So there'll always be a degree of failure in my life, right? Oh, church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. I understand what you're saying, but I hope so, right? Now, a bad hypocrite is somebody who uses good to cover up bad, right? I understand the difference between a good hypocrite and bad hypocrite. But Jesus is addressing a bad hypocrite here. What do you mean by that? If I read verse 5, verse number 3 and 4 tells me what a hypocrite is. Why beholdest thou the mote or speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam or the log that is in thine own eye? That tells me this. If I use the Bible to teach me what a hypocrite is somebody who uses other people's faults as a cover-up and an excuse not to deal with theirs. Have you ever heard somebody say, the moment sin is found out in their life, they go, well, they do such and such. That's a hypocrite. What is anybody's act? How come your wrong has to be justified by somebody else's worse wrong? It's still wrong what you're doing. In other words, Jesus said, don't think that way. If you've got sin in your life, you're held accountable to God. Your relationship was with you and the Lord, not well, so-and-so does. They do worse than me. Okay, I didn't know they set the standard. I didn't know they're the ones that set the bar. Jesus is the one setting the bar, so who cares what other people do? Look at the next verse. Jesus is trying to say, I'm going to address who a hypocrite is. Look at verse 4. It says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. That tells me this. Another trait, verse 4, is another trait of a hypocrite. It's a proud problem solver. They never consider themselves. We've been looking at the book of Nehemiah on Wednesday nights, and Ezra. Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, and Daniel 9 are the prayers for revival in the Bible. You'll notice in each prayer, the similarity is the pronouns used. Not one of the prayers said, dear God, they've sinned, Lord, have mercy on them. Every prayer says, when Daniel's praying, Ezra's praying, or Nehemiah, it's all the same. Dear God, we have sinned. We have failed you. What a Lord God, our sin, never theirs. And you'll notice the key to the Christian life, it's not walking into church and saying, well, who's right with God this morning and who's not? You know, the best Christian walks into church and says, Lord, speak to my heart today and help us. Lord, we're all just a bunch of sinners. And Lord, we're trying. And Lord, there's people here, Lord, that need you this morning. And there's people that got problems and burdens. And Lord, please help us. But dear God, we need you. And we're in desperate need of you. We do. Not, well, they're worse. Oh my goodness, they're here. Now we can't have revival. I just was new, not just knew the glory of God was going to fall this morning, but not with them here. I know where they were Friday. You can't do that. But they're bad sinners. You can't do that. It's Lord, if you want revival, it always considers the one praying. Dear God, I'm not better than anybody here. And Lord, I need your grace just like everybody does here. And Lord, if I make it this week, and Lord, if you're honored and if you're lifted up because of my life, Lord, oh, because you touched me and you helped me, God. And Lord, I'm just asking you, please help us this week. Help us. That's revival. That's revival praying. Jesus said the second trait of a hypocrite is verse 4. Here, let me take that little bitty speck out of your eye so I don't have to deal with mine. Jesus said, you're thinking totally in reverse. Why don't you deal with you, and why don't you pray about you, and when God gives you victory, then you'll be able to help somebody else have victory. Amen? You get the log. You picture that. How far is it in your head? That means your brain ain't working. But you just picture Jesus said, Jesus is telling them, get the log out of your eye. Not stick, not sliver, not splinter. Get the log. Is it a telephone pole? And then you'll see clearly to help somebody else. Now that you understand who's being talked to, notice this. Verses 7 through 12, Jesus is going to teach us on prayer. I'm trying to look at the whole context of the scripture before I pull one verse out and make it totally mean something it doesn't. And I'll show you that here. Verses 7 through 12 is on prayer. Now notice, after Jesus supposedly teaches us not to judge in verses 1 through 6, he then teaches, look what he teaches in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So if you're really not supposed to judge anybody, how can you fulfill verse 15? That means somewhere along the line, you're going to have to say, they're a false prophet, that's a good prophet, that's a good teacher of God, that's a false teacher. You've got to make a judgment. So maybe verse number 1 doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to discern, choose, think, and decide for myself what's right, like what's being taught. Because notice verse 15, beware of false prophets. It says here, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. There's horrible people out there that call themselves Christians, but they have an outward appearance of someone who's right. How do you discern that? Car they drive? I know. King James Bible? That ain't it either. Well, notice first, Jesus is telling us here, verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. That is another, we're not hitting it tonight, but that's another very misused portion of Scripture. Let me tell you how this damages a church. When you take verse 16 and you say, oh, they're not saved because they don't have the fruits of a Christian. That is not what that verse says. That is garbage. You're to never judge one another on who's saved and who's not because of the fruits. Jesus didn't say judge one another. He said, look at a false teacher, someone who calls themselves a man of God, someone who calls themselves a pastor, and you judge them whether they're good by their fruits, not church members. This causes more damage. Oh, they don't have the fruits of a Christian. Where did you learn that? Jesus told us. Who is he talking to? He's warning. He said, every one of you, before you listen to somebody on the internet, you're supposed to judge them by their fruits. There are some pastors, every church they've been at, they've split and they've destroyed. There are some why don't you do a little research before you say, oh, that's a wonderful, and then you start absorbing their teaching. You'll know false teachers by their fruits, not other Christians. You know how many times I've heard this verse preached on? Tonight I'm going to be preaching on the fruits of a Christian. We're going to find out tonight who's saved and who's not. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I go, oh boy. We're in for a bucket load tonight. Bucket load of what? Hooky. It is hooky. You are supposed to judge me by my fruits. You're supposed to say, what has he stood for since he's been in the ministry? What has he done? Who has he helped? You are supposed to judge me by my fruits. If I've got a track record of wrecking churches and hurting people and wreck lives, then, but I want to call myself a man of God because I'm interested in the money and people taking care of me. Yeah, then label me a false prophet. Here, look at a few more verses just so you understand. Watch this. Look at verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, once again, verse 16, he's reiterating it, by their fruits ye shall know them. Who's the them? False teachers. Put people to the scriptural test. Put them to the test. But never, never. Well, let's find out if you're saved tonight. Do you have the fruits of a Christian? I think you're on bad ground. You're misusing the scripture, and you're going to hurt somebody with it, and a lot of people have been hurt by that. So, we understand, how can you beware of false prophets if you aren't supposed to judge? You can't. You mean you're just supposed to accept everything that everybody says? Well, they called themselves a Christian. Go back to verse 1. It says here, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Tonight, the question is it right to judge or is it not? That is a question that puzzles many sincere Christians. And the only verse they quote is the first part of verse 1. They never quote verse 2. Never. I believe a careful study of the Bible makes it clear concerning judgment and a Christian judging. Now, I'm going to show you the definitions tonight, and I'll show you. But not only is it right to judge, but it is your positive duty to judge. One of the best known and most misapplied scriptures is what we read tonight. We already pointed out it's addressed to a hypocrite, not those who sincerely want to discern whether a teacher or teaching is true or false. Jesus was not forbidding us to use honest judgment. Verse number 1 is a warning against hypocritical judgment. But Jesus was not telling us not to honestly discern and decide and think and make a decision and a choice. He wasn't telling us not to do that. He just said, beware of hypocritical judgment. Okay, and if you want to follow it through, look at verse number 5. Verse 5 requires that you judge. Ready? Look at verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then I have the word underlined, then shalt thou see clearly, cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Isn't that judgment? Judgment is also in verse 6. Watch this. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Jesus said, why would you talk about spiritual things to somebody who's lost? If you aren't careful and if you cannot decide who a dog is and who a swine is, you get hurt. Jesus said, they turn on you and they rush you and they bite you. Somebody said, well, so-and-so at work's upset with me because I talked to him about, you know. No, you talk to them about spiritual things, but they're lost. You cast pearls before swine. And you give holy things to people who cannot perceive it. If you cannot judge, look, we were talking, we were out witnessing yesterday, and a lady was, wow, she was ecumenical. I knew I was treading on, if I wanted to shut her down, all I had to do was say, well, that's not in the Bible. I didn't say that. She brought up Joel Osteen. Oh, I love Joel Osteen. I said, he has a nice smile. But if I wanted the conversation, you know what she said? The reason I didn't shut her down was her ignorance of some things. She was saying, I'd really like to come to your church. Okay, well, I don't want to block that. I knew she was lost. She needs to get saved. She said, oh, there's another one I really like. I really like, what's his name? John Hagee. And I said, he's a piece of work. I didn't say he was good. I didn't say I listened to him. I didn't want to give her too much, or she would have turned on me, rushed me, and rended me. You know what the word rend means? Tears. You better discern who a dog is and who a swine is, and you better be careful how you talk to people. That's wisdom from your Bible, right? Can they handle the truth? There's some people, I don't lie, but here's somebody that needed to get saved and was interested in coming to church. If I didn't handle myself right, she'd have shut us off and marked us her ecumenical teaching, I promise, would have marked us as a cult. You're stinking here. I was very careful. We were on pins and needles for about 45 minutes. You better tell who a dog is and who a swine is. And there's some people, you need to be careful what you're talking about, or they take what you say and they use it against you. That's wisdom. How can you do that without judging? You say, oh, you said she was lost. I'm telling you, she was lost. I said, ma'am, what do you think you have to do to go to heaven? What do you think you have to do to get regenerated? Or she had this unified with God and all the stuff that she was saying. She said, well, you just have to show your love to people. And I said, I'm for that. No, she was lost as a goose in a snowstorm, flying backwards with her head cut off. How much lost can you get? Okay, no, she was lost. She had no understanding of salvation. But she was willing to talk. I didn't want to shut her down. I didn't want to be too harsh. I didn't want to give her something that she'd choke on. Amen? This verse came to mind. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give people ammunition. Don't give them a 2x4 to smack you with. Amen? Okay? You have to use judgment. Jesus was not saying, don't decide or choose or think and make a choice for yourself on what's right and wrong. Or verse 6, 5 and 6. Okay, here we go. Tonight, we see that you cannot take Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, and take it totally out of its context. Or, listen closely, if you take that verse out and you ignore the other 5 verses, you can make that word, the Word of God, appear to teach the exact opposite of what it is really teaching. Because how many people say it started with Bill Gaither in the 70s? Now, don't be judgmental. And now it's gone to Rick Warren, America's pastor. Don't judge. Don't judge. Now, We're paying the price of Christians who can't tell the stinking difference between what's right and what's wrong, what's holy and what's undefiled. Nobody's willing to draw a line because I don't want to be judgmental, and it's killing Christianity. That's why I said, you can take verse 1, pull it out of context, ignore the other verses, and now you are using the verse to teach it an exact opposite of the way God is telling us to use it. There are people who, in 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 and 16, they bring a curse on themselves and the judgment of God because they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. That's not the Bible study tonight. Tonight, it is so tragic that so much of the anti-scriptural teaching, this anti-scriptural teaching of don't judge, has found undeserved protection and shelter behind misusing the Bible. The reason, I told you, Christianity today is honeycombed, it's paralyzed by satanic modernism, is because Christians have not obeyed the command of God to judge, put away, and separate from false teachers and false teachings when they first appear. I was sitting in chapel at Howells Anderson. I'll never forget it. A pastor got up, big church in California. We all, you know, my roommates, we were sitting there together, and he started teaching 1 John chapter 3. It was the first heretical sermon I'd ever heard. He started teaching. This was it. I mean, he knew Greek and all that. I know a Greek. He runs an Italian restaurant up in Waldorf. Okay. This guy, he gets up and he's... That was a joke. I wish you'd heard that. Okay. He gets up and he starts saying, now that word in the Greek is this word in his present tense, Greek. What it means is if you've had a problem with sin in your life since you've been saved, you're not really saved. And he went on and read the whole verse. Verses 9 through... We've covered it in here, and I've taught it the right way. Amen. Okay. He preached on 40 minutes on how if you've sinned since you've been saved and used the Bible, you're lost. That day after chapel, 45 guys stood in line outside. He said, if you have a problem with your salvation and you need to be saved, I'll be waiting outside Dr. Evans' office. You come and 45 people that day went and said, I've sinned since I've been saved. I'm lost. I was furious. I was sitting in chapel. I've never heard preaching like this. But I was like, I don't know Greek, but I don't think I have to. I wrote a note to my roommate. I said, is this Lordship salvation? I slipped it over to him. And he said, shut up. And slipped it back. And I said, I'm telling you, this is garbage. And he goes, I know, and I don't know what to do about it, like this. So we're slipping it back and forth. There were teachers there that were furious. It got fixed later, but I'd never heard. In other words, just because a pastor is standing up, he can tell you anything, and you don't judge between right and wrong? You're not supposed to lose your mind when you come to church, amen? You're supposed to be think about what he's saying. And if he's a screwball, somebody could stand up and say, that's heresy. We don't teach that here. I mean, there's a whole list. So all I'm, okay, call out a false teacher when they're false. If it's wrong, it's wrong, according to the Bible. The only thing that should prevent you from doing that is if you say, you know, I think I need to study the Bible, but I'm pretty sure what they're saying isn't right. And call a dog a dog. Shake the tree. Shake the chain. Physical health is maintained when you separate from disease and germs. And when you wash your hands after you go to the bathroom. Spiritual health, that's important, I just have to put that in somewhere. Spiritual health is maintained when you separate from the germs of false doctrine. The greatest peril and the sadness of our day is with nobody judging and too little judging of spiritual falsehood, now everybody accepts the title Christian. Well, it's a church, so I don't want to speak evil about a church. It's a good church if they teach the Bible. It's a bad church if they don't. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll show you the difference between the two words here in just a second. I just want to point something out to you. I'm going to point out to you the first part of this chapter, the middle, and the last part. I'm going to leave it up to you to go look at it later, but look at what he's teaching. Look at verse 1 and 2, and look what God's trying to show us. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Ready? Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Ready? For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused it. Paul is saying, God's using Paul to say, I led you to Christ, and I'm jealous over you. I'm excited for you to get what God has for you. And then he says, I have espoused you, or I led you to Christ, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's what it is when you lead somebody to the Lord. You're saying, Jesus wants to save you forever, and it's likened to marriage. Amen? So he said, I espoused you to Christ so you could be his bride forever, his virgin bride. He said, but I don't want you getting dirty spiritually before you meet him, even though you'll still be his bride. That's what the word, y'all see the word espoused there? Notice this. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, notice the last words here, ye might well bear with him. He said, you'd put up with that. You should be able to say, that's wrong. He said, verse 3 starts, but I fear you're such a weak Christian, if somebody stood up and taught something that was wrong, you wouldn't call him down. Now, I understand that's my job, and if I hope I do my homework, and, you know, and I find out who's preaching here, that's my job. But if we ever did have somebody up here, I preached in one church, I loved it. Pastor Nichols' church, he's got a big sign on his thing right here. If you correct the Bible, I will set you down. So he does it to the guest speaker. I love preaching in his church. I don't correct the Bible. But I love that. It's in gold, too, just in case you miss it. It's got black letters on it. If you correct the Bible, I will sit you down. Don't do it. Now, that's my job as a pastor. But let's say there was a guest here and I wasn't here. Paul is saying, you're supposed to grow to the point in the Christian life where you can say, there's one Jesus. There's not many. There's one gospel. There's not another. He said, and if somebody's preaching heresy, you shouldn't bear or put up with it. You call it down. Now, notice this. In the whole context of the chapter, it's amazing. I'll let you read it. I'm just touching on it tonight. Look at verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's trying to teach them at Corinth, there are people that look good that are evil. Why does that blow your mind? Satan is trying to destroy you, and he's not going to come in here, you know, with blood smeared all over him and dragging, you know, an axe. And he's going to come in here looking like a Baptist preacher. And he's going to have a King James Bible under his arm. But people think, well, listen to what they're teaching. Look at the last part of the chapter. Ready? Watch this. Look at verse number 19. For ye suffer or allow fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer or allow, watch this, if a man bring you into bondage, you say, what's that? If he tells you to do something as a Christian that God doesn't tell you you have to do, you'd put up with that. Look at the next phrase. He says here, if a man devour you, what's that mean? If a man says unreasonably harsh words to you, that really he was out of line, you'd let it happen. He's correcting the church. Look at the next phrase. He said, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. He said, you're such a weak Christian. He said, you would allow somebody to mistreat you physically all in the name of him being a man of God, and you're just a lowly church member. He said, you can't think that way. That does not make for a strong church. What makes for a strong church is for somebody to say, look, when you're preaching truth, it comes from the Bible, not you exalting yourself. And the list goes on. Read 2 Corinthians later. And I'm telling you, since the 1970s, since Bill, how come I always forget his name? Gaither. Since he started this, don't judge me, don't judge. Now, let's not be judgmental. We are now on 50 years of that garbage. Churches aren't better for it. They're dying because nobody wants to say what's right and what's wrong according to the Scripture. It's killing us. No. Now, I realize you can take this too far, and I'll cover that with you. That's 2 Corinthians. So, remember, the Bible never contradicts itself. To understand one portion of Scripture, we have to view it in the light of all Scripture. God tells us no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation or an isolated interpretation. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says we compare spiritual things with spiritual. That's how we interpret the Bible. We rightly divide the word of truth. Now, with that in mind, take your Bible and go to John 7:24. John chapter 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 7, and look at verse 24. I'm not going to cover all these. You could take a concordance and do this yourself. But I'm amazed at how many people say, don't judge, and they are totally ignorant of Jesus' command to do so. Watch. Look at John chapter 7 and verse 24. John chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Christian, you're commanded to judge righteously. And if you can't, you can't grow spiritually. You're supposed to call what's wrong, wrong. And you're supposed to call what's right, right. You say, how come? Jesus told us to. John 7:24, right? Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 2:15. 1 Corinthians, just go over a couple of books. 1 Corinthians 2:15. While you go there, 1 Corinthians 2:15, Jesus told a man in Luke 7:43, thou hast rightly judged. Our Lord asked in Luke 12:57, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Wow, what a verse. You're going to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 15. Watch this. Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 2:15, ye, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Oh, don't judge. No, I'm not trying to judge. Okay, if I used 1 Corinthians 2:15 to say, you mean when you say, I'm not judging, God says you're not spiritual. Now, I think I know what they mean, so hang with me here. But you cannot be a spiritual Christian and stay away from judgment. Every day is a judgment call. You better be judging. You better be deciding and discerning and thinking and choosing what's right, or you can't grow spiritually. That's what the Bible teaches. These are verses here. God teaches us. The Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 10:15, just listen to it. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. This is all through the Scripture. God tells us in His Word that it is our positive duty to judge. Now, if we're to judge righteous judgment, then we're supposed to judge like the Lord Jesus judges. To find that out, go to Isaiah in the Old Testament and look at the prophecy of Jesus, Isaiah chapter 11, and look at we'll read verses 1 through 4, Isaiah chapter 11. I hope tonight's Bible study encourages you. Okay, you can only make a call on righteousness, you can only judge righteously to the degree you know the Bible. And the only reason you wouldn't call something wrong that God says wrong is because you haven't read it, right? So your strength as a Christian, it goes down to your working knowledge of that book, right? And if you don't know if something is right or wrong, then you might want to ask somebody who knows the book. Amen? If I'm going to judge like Jesus judged, because that's what I want to do. He said, if you're going to judge, judge righteous judgment. How do you do that? Look at verse 1. Ready? It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. This is a prophecy about Jesus. And a branch that shall grow out of his roots. That's Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's Jesus, okay? The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's talking about Jesus. Watch verse 3. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. If you want to judge like Jesus judged, then you need a witness, right? You don't need one person against another saying, well, I saw him do it. Don't judge after the sight of your eyes. And how wise is this? How many times have things appeared wrong until you questioned? Well, I saw what they did, but did you ask them about it? Don't judge by sight of the eyes. Or, here's a classic, I heard that they did this. Did you ask them personally? Okay, remember Matthew 7? Judge not, lest you be judged, for with the judgment you judge others, you're going to be judged yourself. Do you want to be judged like that? If you judge and make a call and you set a verdict, guilty or innocent, based on eyesight or hearing, Jesus promised in Matthew 7:1, then that's how you'll be judged. Here's a classic. Oh, I read that on the internet. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, everything on the internet's true. Oh, really? What would happen if somebody, did you know in one church in Colorado, a satanic group right down the road that hated the church and hated them reaching bus kids? This was what one group did against a church. They put out a flyer with the pastor's picture and said on the flyer, no nigger is invited to our church, and they passed it out all over town. When they asked the pastor and put the church's address right at the bottom, this happened, I think, 15 years ago. It was produced by somebody who hated the church. When they brought it to the pastor said, no, we don't. No, everybody's welcome to our church. That statement was used to sue the church. Well, it's in print. Who printed it? We live in a weird day. Well, I read something about gospel. I read something about, did you ask Pastor Nash? Do you want to be judged that way? Do you want a verdict sealed, guilty or innocent, based on what somebody has seen, heard, or read? Then make sure you don't do it. Then you be diligent to do your homework. When I make a judgment, I want to make a righteous judgment. And I need to do that. And even the Lord Jesus is teaching us, when he's here on this earth, he won't judge after the appearance of his eyes or the hearing of his ears. Look at verse 4. Ready? But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That's Jesus. Well, if you judge like Jesus, nothing bad will happen to you. Oh, really? The religious crowd hated him and they crucified him. And he judged righteous judgment. So how do I judge according to Jesus? I want to judge like he does. Number one, I'll tell you this here in a little bit. It would really help if you didn't see somebody do it, and even if you did, you always ask the accused, is this what you did? Because sometimes things are not always as they appear. You need to ask. That's why we investigate. That's righteous judgment. Let's move on here. Understanding how God uses the word judge in the Bible is so important. Now I need you to listen to me. Ready? The word judgment or judge has two meanings. First, it means what I've tried to tell you a little bit. It means to distinguish, to decide, to determine, to conclude, to try, to think, to call in question, and to choose. That is one meaning of the word judge. To make a choice on right or wrong. Okay? The other word judge is something we're familiar with also. Judgment also means, what does a judge do in a courtroom? He condemns, he sentences, and he punishes. Right? The gavel goes down, guilty. That's a judgment. Right? You will hang by the neck till dead. Whatever the judgment is, it's condemnation, okay? It's a sentence, and it's punishment. That type of judgment belongs to God, okay? Everybody follow me here on this, because I really need you thinking. The right judgment that we're supposed to get, true Christians are supposed to exercise discernment in their life, but never vengeance. That's God's job, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's never my job to punish wrong. That's the government's job. If my government chooses not to, execute judgment on homosexuals, then they bring a judgment on our nation. That's not my job to, if the government isn't gonna shoot them, I will. You're stupid. That's not your job, okay? That's the wrong judgment. You are to discern that homosexuality is wrong. It is a vile lifestyle. But you're never to execute, condemn, sentence, and punish for wrong. That's the difference. Amen? To show you that, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Ready? Hebrews chapter 5. I understand, because this has been in churches for 50 years. Don't judge. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I understand what everybody says. And it's in our church. And I understand what you're saying. And we've got... I understand what you're saying. I think what you're saying is this. Because I think you love the Bible, I think you're saying this. I'm not condemning them, and I'm not going to shoot them next week. But what I hope you're saying is I've not lost my discernment and my judgment and my ability to choose between right and wrong. I want to judge what's right by the Bible, but I'm not showing up at anybody's yard at 3 a.m. with a chainsaw. Amen? I'm not going to punish anybody for their wrong. That's God's job. Amen? Okay? Just to show you this discernment, look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. For when the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. That's the sign of a baby, right? Look at verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, or in the Bible, for he is a babe. In other words, that's immaturity, right? Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, and even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God plainly says, the sign of a baby Christian is when they read the Bible, they can't get any truth for themselves. They need milk. What's milk? Predigested food, right? So they need somebody, if they're going to get anything spiritually, they have to have somebody read the Bible and tell them what it says. Amen? That's expected. That's called a babe in Christ. That's called a young, immature Christian. That should be allowed. He's not saying, everybody starts that way, right? But you can tell when you grow, to the degree you grow, when you can handle strong meat, you can read the Bible for yourself. That's how come I go back and forth. I don't have a problem with a sermon that's one verse and 4 points, but I on purpose go all over the Bible when we preach. You say, why? I'm trying to show you how to go back and forth. Amen? I don't have to preach this way. I can make a few statements and do this. I'm trying to show you what I'm showing you in the Bible is all over the book. Amen? So that one day, if Jesus calls me home, amen, you get the benefit of being a stronger Christian that can tell in the Bible. Amen? What is the last trait of a strong Christian? It says you can discern or choose or divide or make a choice between good and evil. Don't judge. I'm not going to judge. I hope you do. That's wrong. That's right. That's good. That's bad. That's evil. That's unholy. That's righteous. I hope you do make a choice. No, I hope you do judge. Here we go. That's Hebrews chapter 5, and it shows how important discernment is. Discernment or choosing is one of the gifts. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go back there right past Romans, 1 Corinthians. Watch this. I may be tonight overhitting this, but in this day and age, when you deal with 50 years of Christians saying, don't judge. I love our church, amen. But when you watch Christians and you're watching not judging, destroying Christianity as we know it, and churches are dying, and nobody wants to. There's a few statements that get my goat as much as, I just don't want to judge. Really, do you know what the Bible says on that? God says we have to do this. We have to do this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 7. One of the manifestations of the Spirit. Notice this. When the Holy Spirit of God manifests itself, there are some of these that apply. There's four of them. The others don't. Let me show you which ones do. Ready? Watch this. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That God does that today. The word of wisdom is when God gives you something from the Bible to encourage somebody else. You know, I was praying for the other day and God gave me a Bible verse for you. I hope this encourages you. That's a word of wisdom given by the Holy Spirit so you could encourage somebody else. Right? Look at the next thing. It says, to another, the word of knowledge. All right? One is the application of Scripture. One is giving a Bible verse. Okay? God does those two today. Look at the next one. It says here, by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. What's faith? It's trust. It's trust in the Word of God and trust in the Lord. Right? That's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The next three, God doesn't do anymore. Ready? Watch this. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. That was only in New Testament time. God still heals, but not... Okay, people don't get raised from the dead, right? That you read the book of Acts, healings, quote-unquote, and people growing arms and limbs and rising from the dead. That has stopped, all right? That has stopped. Watch this. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Acts also says that that has stopped. To another, prophecy. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 10 says that has stopped. To another, and if you underline something that applies to tonight, discerning of spirits. That's real. That still happens. Your ability, some can do it, some people can do it better than others. And no, I don't think women's intuition is part of this. Amen? But God says one of the gifts, one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life, one of them is discerning of spirits. We had a guy, we helped people in Tennessee, we were by a jail. And when guys would get out, our pastor preached in the jail. So the guys would come to our church and we got to help a lot of people that, you know, when they needed clothes, when they just get out and stuff like this. Well, there was one time this sex offender got out, and this didn't happen all the time, but he came to church, and, you know, we were there, glad he was there for about the first 5 minutes, but every lady he was around, all the guys out of jail didn't make the women feel bad, but that one did. It took three complaints, three ladies going, Pastor, that guy, he ain't acting right. Well, what'd he say? He didn't say anything. He's goofy. It's making me spook. We went out and the discerning of his spirit or his attitude. You understand? There's something evil there. You're not here for the right. You understand? That's a manifestation of the Spirit. You understand? Okay, so we went to him and said, sorry, Doc, ain't coming here again. That doesn't happen to everybody. Everybody, you better be able to discern spirits. Remember in the book of Nehemiah? Tobiah and them came and said, hey, can we build with you? And he says, God showed me that they were not for me. God will show you evil people as you walk with him. And God will let you discern, judge situations. I don't feel right. Something ain't right here. Lord, help me. The Holy Spirit can guide you, but not if you're this way. Well, I don't want to judge. Really? Yeah, somebody's getting ready to get shot in here, but I don't want to judge. You're a knucklehead. I don't have to get that serious. But Christian, some in here, the Holy Spirit can use you to discern things more than others. You say, why? Because that's God working through them in their life. The last two, just to show you this, have ceased. It says, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Once again, 1 Corinthians, the next chapter, verses 8 through 10, tells you that those have ceased. And look at verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, the word discern means to separate. Let's try to kind of wrap things up. I got so much, and I think you got it. Amen? All right? Understand. Let's review here real quick before I start to apply this. There's two definitions of the word judge. One of them we're commanded to do. What is that? Decide and choose and decide and choose what's right. Discern. We're supposed to do that. We are supposed to do that. But to condemn, sentence, and punish what a judge in a court of law would do, we are not to do. God has said, that judgment, that's mine. How somebody gets punished for their sin, how somebody, God says, I execute judgment and I use government to do that. Understand the difference between the two words. What are we not to judge? We're not to judge people's motives. We don't have time tonight to go through it, but 1 Corinthians 4 teaches that. We're not supposed to judge who's saved and who's not. God plainly tells us in 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are His. God knows who's saved and who's not. I'm not supposed to walk. Okay, as a pastor, I might hear people say things that I wish they wouldn't say. When somebody tells me in our church, well, I'm working at it. No, I'm saved, but I'm working it. Okay, that gives me the heebie-jeebies, all right? I do, and watch this. But I don't go, that person's lost. I just get concerned and I start praying, right? But I'm not supposed to. All I can do is ask. Has there been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus as your Savior? If they tell me yes, well, they're lying. How do you know? Well, I just know. No, you don't. You're not supposed to judge whether somebody's saved or lost. All you can do is ask them, what's your testimony of being saved? Tell me how you got saved. I'll tell you how I got saved. We can rejoice together that we're saved. But if they tell you they're saved, that's it. You're not supposed to, I don't think they're really saved. Hooey. God says, don't do that. And be careful, guard against a wrong attitude. All right? How do you do this? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1, and we'll close with this, okay? Matthew chapter 7. I'll give you a couple applications. I want to read the verse again. So here's what Jesus told us, okay? Be careful about the judgment. What's a simple word for the judgment Jesus is saying here? If you're going to make a verdict, that's all we can do, guilty or innocent, right or wrong, right? You can't condemn, sentence, and punish. If you're going to do that, make sure you do it in the way that's what you would want others to draw a verdict for you. Okay? Because however you judge or make a verdict, that's how it's going to be made to you. You're going to reap what you sow. Okay? Keep in mind something. When you share your verdict on what's right or wrong, listen, when you speak it, you prejudice yourself and alienate people. I'm supposed to make judgments, but when I speak them, yeah, it's going to make, you know, I can tell you something as your pastor. How come you make strong statements in the pulpit about politics? I do it to test the waters. I would never make I might make a statement like this, okay? This is a strong statement. I don't know how I believe you can, but I don't know how you can be a Democrat and hold to everything Democrats hold to and be saved and love the Bible. That's a strong statement. When I make that, look, everybody in our church is going, oh yeah, I'm testing the waters when I do that. I'm pretty sure we're all in agreement. I'd get some amens on that, right? But when I make those statements and we've got visitors and things, I'm not trying to make people mad. I am testing the waters. You say, well, what are you going to do if they get up and walk out? I'll go after them. Not right then, but I'll go after them. But when you speak your verdict, you will alienate people, so be careful. Still make your judgment. Now you need to be careful. I would be careful who you voice it to. Be careful. Be careful. How about this? Some cases don't fall within your jurisdiction. Some cases that we'll make a verdict about that we hear are none of our business. I'm not telling you not to judge because I think you need to. I don't know how you can do that. I don't know how you can not judge and not be a good, and be a strong Christian. Just, I don't have to speak my judgment on everything, right? Now, I do because I'm a pastor, amen? You better be careful in your family and in your job and in your neighborhood. You need to think, how will my words affect them? That's wisdom. And if it's going to cause unnecessary division, you might want to just pray. Amen? Unless you, well, my neighbor, we had a Democrat as a neighbor in West Virginia. He was a cuckoo bird. And I mean a nut job, videoing our house all the time, front yard. I mean like that. He was just a nut job. It was kooky. And you to try to talk to them, he was like far. It was far. You can ask my wife. It was weird. You couldn't reason with him. I learned pretty much, just say, his name was J.R., I'd say, hey, J.R., how you doing? Pretty much, I didn't go up, hey, what do you think of Bill Clinton? Boy, isn't he a pervert? I'd already made that judgment call, and I just pretty much learned, you know what? God does say in Romans 12, if at all possible, live peaceably with all men. Be careful how you speak your verdict. Okay? A couple more things. There's some things that you don't need to render a verdict over. You say, like what? We're getting ready to be with five other churches next week. You say, do you hear what they do in that church? It's none of my business what somebody else does in another church. You understand? They're probably going to do, there's going to be a few things that we wouldn't do, and we might be doing a few things. Did you know Pastor Nash plays the guitar? There's some churches that would look, well, they play guitars in bars. Well, they have seats in bars too. Is it a sin to sit down? I'm just saying, you know what I mean? The reasoning goes, what goes on, what matters in other churches, I need to be careful that I don't, you understand? Some matters do not apply to me, but I'll still make a judgment call. Just be careful. Finally, remember, you're not always in possession of all the evidence. So remember scriptural guidelines. Always have. Obviously, concerning the severity of it, always have two witnesses. Give the accused a chance to hear and refute. And remember, if it's not under your authority and you're not responsible for God for it, you shouldn't be giving it a hearing anyways. Okay? Number next. Let's take the application here. I believe, now let's go to the other side. You are supposed to judge and draw a verdict, but I don't think you need to get in the habit. You can take that too far. To where you criticize everything. You need to curb that, all right? Well, let's see what you're doing wrong. they are. They're doing something wrong, I promise. We're sinners, okay? And if we spend enough time with each other, we'll find out what we're doing wrong, okay? So don't be looking. You understand? You can take the judgment thing that we're commanded to do too far. Don't develop a critical spirit. Remember that judging involves hearing, coming to a decision, and then you claiming a verdict over something, okay, here we go, that involves you, okay? Be careful how you get, okay? Bottom line, let me just close with two things. If it's not any of your business, probably it'd help if you just keep your nose out of it. Amen? Number two, people really do need our help, not our criticism. Let me go back to that lady that we were talking with yesterday. We spent 45 minutes at her house. All I needed to hear was she was interested in coming to church. That told me she was trying her best. She was lost. My heart went out to her. We were trying. And I was like, okay, if I can't win her, Lord, please, I'm dying for her to meet you. She's a little whacked out. I'm talking, she's so ecumenical. She accepts everything. Everything's Bible. All you have to do is love and you're in. I mean, that's... So, but I'd like her to meet you and your kindness. And then I would hope through the preaching of the Word of God, she could get saved and God could convict her of her sin. Amen. I didn't want to... That's what I want to be careful I don't hinder. Amen. Well, no, I just told her what was right. Did you use any wisdom? What came out of your mouth? How does that affect people that heard it? How'd they... Amen. I don't want to hinder the gospel. I'm supposed to judge. But be careful. Be careful. A good, healthy Christian does make judgment calls. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that please, Lord, we could use this truth. And Father, in a day and age when it just seems so spoken against.